അല്ലാഹു അക്ബാർ അല്ലാഹു അക്ബാർ അല്ലാഹു അക്ബാർ അല്ലാഹു അക്ബാർ അശ്ഹദു അൻ ലാ ഇലാഹ ഇല്ലല്ലാഹ് അശ്ഹദു അൻ ലാ ഇലാഹ ഇല്ലല്ലാഹ് അശ്ഹദു അന്ന മുഹമ്മദ് റസൂലുള്ളാഹ് അശ്ഹദു അന്ന മുഹമ്മദൻ റസൂലുള്ളാഹ് ഹയ്യാ അലാ സ്വലാ ഹയ്യാ അല്ലൽ ഫലാഹ് ഹയ്യാ അല്ലൽ ഫലാഹ് അസ്സലാത്തു ഖൈറു മിനന്നൗം അസ്സലാത്തു ഖൈറു മിനന്നൗം അല്ലാഹു അക്ബർ അല്ലാഹു അക്ബർ ലാ ഇലാഹ أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين
آمين آمين Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. As-salamu alaykum, my dear brothers and sisters. And once again, this is your brother Abdul Muthakir Muhammad, welcoming you to the Ummah Reflects, our podcast where we strive to help and aid the believers to get off to what we call a good start each morning during the blessed month of Ramadan. We thank you for joining us, and we pray that Allah will guide the words of our guest speakers every morning, and that their words will aid us all as we grow and develop to become better believers in Allah. I just want to stop and pause for the cause and thank Allah for getting up this morning and being a Muslim, and thank him for allowing me to hear this beautiful word of Islam. We were so blessed to hear from our brother attorney Hakeem Muhammad yesterday, who enlightened us and gave us a powerful word yesterday. We thank Allah for his words with us yesterday, and we thank Allah for our guest speakers today. To take us further into our program will be our brother and friend, Brother Abdul Akbar Muhammad. Brother Akbar.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we want to thank Allah for another day of the fast of Ramadan. And we want to thank the brothers and sisters who made it happen and who have been on the case with the Ramadan prayer line. I must say that, you know, every time I hear the call to prayer from Brother Shaheed, it actually sends chills through my body. And Allah has blessed him to be able to carry that note, and all of the brothers and sisters who hear him, not only across this country, but throughout the world, are proud to have him as our caller to prayer in the morning during the month of Ramadan. It is a trying time. Allah has blessed us. And when I was a young Muslim, getting involved in the nation, we had what we call stars. The minister mentioned that to me in a conversation we had. And Allah has produced stars among the believers. And they are the ones who carry the weight, who carry the note. So we're thankful to them. We're thankful to the staff who make it possible each and every morning during the month of Ramadan. Ramadan is a beautiful season. Yeah, it could be tough on you sometime, but it's a moving season. And during the month of Ramadan, our children go to school. It's not easy for them, but they make it to school. And this is a beautiful part about Ramadan, is that they learn about the fast, and they start their fasting at a very young age, which is really beautiful. In the history of Islam, you always find whenever they built a mosque, they built what is called a madrasa. A madrasa is a school, and the madrasa carries the weight of the children, and you start teaching them at a young age. It's a beautiful sight, because the children are learning at a young age how to carry the weight of being a Muslim in a society that it frowns on Islam in many cases. So we thank Allah, and we thank Allah. I want to give a special shout out to Sister Nisa for her weight that she carries with the school and the weight that she carries with the Ramadan prayer line across this country and throughout the world. So we thank you. May Allah bless us to have a good day of fasting. And remember, the madrasa is important. The school for the children is important. It may not be what you want it to be, but you keep on working and you will see that it will unfold into a beautiful school that the children will have a place to go. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Akbar. Thank you for your words with us this morning, and may Allah continue to bless you, sir. May Allah continue to bless you. Brothers and sisters, this is my honor to bring on or introduce our guest speaker this morning. He's our brother and friend from Houston, Texas. He's the Southwest Regional Minister. He's my brother, Brother Abdul Halim Muhammad. Brother Halim.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I thank Allah for his merciful intervention in our affairs in the person of Master Fahd Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever, the great Mahdi. I thank him for raising up in our midst the most honorable Elijah Muhammad as messenger Messiah, and I thank them both for not leaving us alone, but leaving in our midst our brother, servant, and friend, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I greet you, my beloved brothers and sisters, in the green words of peace, Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. I thank Sister Dr. Anisa Islam, Brother Abdul Akbar, Brother Abdul Salam, Brother Abdul Muthakir, Brother Jamil, Brother Abdul Shahid, Brother Jaleel, Sister Majida, and the tech team behind the scenes for your hard work and dedication in what has evolved from a conference call to a prayer tsunami to a Ramadan prayer line to the Ummah Reflects podcast. May Allah bless and reward you all. My beloved brothers and sisters, the 17th day of Ramadan is significant, for in the second year after the Hijra or flight of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, from Mecca to Medina, the Battle of Badr took place. In the Battle of Badr, the Muslims were outnumbered 3-1, and Allah blessed them to be victorious. You see, brothers and sisters, success does not depend on number. It depends on faith, obedience, and organization. For the Prophet, as the commander of the faithful, fought in a style revolutionary to the Arabs. Instead of sporadic and disorganized hit-and-run skirmishes, the Muslims fought as a disciplined body with an order of battle. It is, as the Holy Quran says, Allah loves those who fight in his way in ranks as if they were a solid wall. What is the significance of the Battle of Badr for us in this modern time? The only way I can answer it is from my teacher, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. There is no reason for Master Fahd Muhammad, the teacher of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to have only one picture of himself, and in that only picture, he is reading the Quran. What was the lesson in that for his servant? Study the Quran. Why did he, Master Fahd Muhammad, give the Honorable Elijah Muhammad 104 books to study? And each one of these books had some aspect of the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Why did he do that? Because the only way we're going to establish Islam in America is to look at the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who established Islam in Arabia and follow that Sunnah. Mr. Farrakhan goes on to say, the real Sunnah of the Prophet, peace be upon him, is how he practiced the Quran during the time of his revelation. And no ayat or verse of this book was revealed outside of a context. The Quran has real value in context. And there's nothing happening in the world today that you cannot apply the Quran and the ayats from it to solve that problem. All we have to do is go back and look at how the Prophet, peace be upon him, acted. Why is this important? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gives us the key. In making the Great Commission of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad known, he's passed on to us a letter that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote to the student ministers class in the 1930s. It reads thusly. First, history is above all our studies, the most attractive and best qualified to reward our research, as it develops the springs and motive of human actions and displays the consequence of circumstances, which operates most powerfully on the destinies of the human being. The letter goes on to say, the wise man is one who have made a careful study of the past events of ancient and modern history. The knowledge of the future is judged by the knowledge of the past. There are men born with the gift of prophecy, while some are trained into the knowledge by intense study of the past events of history. Brothers and sisters, why is it important to study the history of the Battle of Badr, the Holy Quran, and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him? Did we notice during our reading in Surah Al-Baqarah that the fasting ayats are in between ayats describing retaliation and fighting in defense? Did you know that in the same year as the Battle of Badr, the mandate to fast during the month of Ramadan was revealed during Shaban, the 8th month of the Islamic calendar? The Muslims were ordered to fast, and then they were forced to fight. My beloved Muslim family, what lies ahead of us? Please remember what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said to us on the first day of Ramadan. He said, I quote, I would like to, in this sacred month, ask us to consider what is going on in our world. He went on to say, oh, beloved Muslims, what kind of Ramadan will this be for us if we, during iftar, can sit together and enjoy our family and friends and reach over and eat a date, reach over and have a bowl of soup and food? How can we enjoy the blessings of food and drink without a thought of our people around the world in war zones that cannot find anything to eat? He goes on to say, what good are we as Muslims if our fast of Ramadan doesn't give us a greater sense of what it is to be hungry? What good are we as Muslims if we don't try to do good for those who have nothing? He said, I'm not trying to make you upset. But if what is happening does not make us upset, we are very, very sick. And soon it will be at our door since we don't feel the hurt of others and rise to do something about it. Then Allah will take our blessing away and famine will stretch from one end of the earth to another. War will stretch from one end of the earth to another. Bombs will fall and even nuclear weapons will be used. This is the war of Armageddon, and Allah himself is leading the war. None shall escape what God is intending when he removes the wicked from the face of the earth and sets up a government of universal peace based upon truth and justice. Close quote. In my conclusion, so what is the lesson in the battle of Badr for us in this troubled time? It is that success does not depend on numbers. Success depends on a number. The number that Prophet Muhammad, the number that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the number that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and the number that you and I should rely on in this hour. And that number is one, the only, the sole one, the unity, El Ahad, Allah, the Most High. And I say to you, brothers and sisters, in this troubled time, Hasbunallahu. Allah is sufficient for us. May Allah bless you as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullah wa barakatuh, and Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem, my brother. Thank you for your inspiring words with us this morning. And may Allah continue to bless you and the beautiful work you're doing in Houston and the Southwest region and the believers there in Houston. Brothers and sisters, before we move on, we had a small glitch in the cup, it just dropped from us, but we are back on and we thank Allah for allowing us to get back on. Now we will have our Umar report by journalist Max Blumenthal.
Why did the Palestinians initiate this war with their vicious attack on Israelis on October 7th?
Well, they didn't. They didn't. This war has been going on for 75 years. Israel initiated it in 1948 by ethnically cleansing 750,000 people. We must expel Arabs. We must expel Arabs and take their places. We must expel Arabs and take their places. And if we have to use force, not to dispossess the Arabs of the Negev and Transjordan, but to guarantee our own right to settle in those places, then we have force at our disposal. David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, said that in 1937. And that's what they proceeded to do. The people in Gaza, this is what you need to understand. The people in Gaza, over 80% of them are refugees. Many of them are from a place called Majdal Ascalon in what is now southern Israel, in a city called Ashkelon. And they were dragged from their homes and driven from their homes, placed in prison camps, barbed wire prison camps, and then dumped in trucks in 1950 into the Gaza Strip where they would be permanently warehoused. And then Israel proceeded to move Arab, Jewish refugees and Russians into Ashkelon to prevent them from ever coming back, and pass laws to prevent Arabs, Palestinians from being able to return to their homes. 750,000 were ethnically cleansed. For 18 years, the remaining Palestinians, 100,000, were internally displaced inside Israel. The remaining were put under military rule. They were under military occupation until 1966. Then in 1967, Israel violently, in a war it initiated, occupies Gaza, occupies the West Bank, occupies the Sinai Peninsula, the Golan Heights in East Jerusalem, and then invades Lebanon in 1982, attacking Palestinian refugees there, puts Gaza under siege in 2005. No one can get in or out without Israeli military permission. We must kill and kill all day, every day. That's according to Arnon Sofer, an Israeli government consultant who helped devise the siege of Gaza. For years, Israel would not allow certain chocolates and A2 paper into Gaza. And then they began these brutal military assaults, which they call mowing the lawn. And I talked to you about those assaults that took place on Gaza. So this didn't come out of a vacuum. You're not going to be able to hold people under siege, didn't cut them off from the world, and then expect them to just play along. That doesn't mean that I celebrate what happened on October 7th. It should have never had to happen. The reason it happened is because of the Israel lobby here, the genocide Democrats and the genocide Republicans who deny the Palestinians any right to have rights. And it's the right to have rights that defines you as a citizen. They're citizens of nothing. And now we see what Israel really thinks of them, really thinks of their children. Gaza has become a graveyard for children, according to UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. So this didn't start on October 7th, and it's not going to end when there's a ceasefire.
Ooh. Thank you, Mr. Blumenthal, for your words. We have the right to have rights. Thank you very much. We will now have the fast fact and fast fact with Sister Nisa Muhammad. Sister Nisa.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our fast fact of the day is, you can have a Badr too. What will you bring your all to? Your efforts, your talents, your skills, as the early Muslims did in Badr. Whatever that is, that will be your Badr. With great effort, we can have our own Badr, just like the Muslims who fought on Ramadan 17 in the Battle of Badr. It was an unforeseen victory. The Muslims were outnumbered 3-1. However, they emerged from a defensive stance toward one of stability and expansion. The battle damaged Meccan trade and boosted the morale of the Muslims as a viable force. Allah says in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah helped you at Badr when you were very weak. Be mindful of Allah so that you may be grateful. Surah 3, Ayah 123. The Battle of Badr exemplifies three concepts. Sincerity, sacrifice, and the third is solidarity. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, reflects the sincerity of that moment. There was fear. Don't get it wrong. Don't think they were just these brave believers. There was fear. They didn't know what was going to happen. They were tense. The Quraysh were so many, and the Muslims were so few. Imagine what's going on in their minds and hearts. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, spent the night before the battle in prayer, begging and pleading with Allah for a victory. He wanted to know that he was doing the right things. His heart was sincere. Imagine our experiences when we're begging Allah, Allah, please help me get out of this situation. Allah, please help me to make sure I am doing the right thing. And so that is the sincerity that is needed for our own personal bodies. Next is sacrifice. The Muslims sacrificed everything for the Battle of Badr. Early 20th century shows Black people sacrificing nickels and dimes to build institutions like Morehouse and Spelman. Parents and communities sacrificed to send their children to college. The early Muslims in the U.S. did the same thing. Masjid Muhammad in Washington, D.C., formerly known as Temple No. 4, was the first mosque built from the ground up by Black Muslims. Brothers had to secure the construction site so people would stop stealing the bricks. We have a history of sacrifice, and we know what that's like. What are we willing to sacrifice for today? What is our Badr? Lastly is solidarity or unity. Brother Abdul Halim talked about this. Those Muslims at the Battle of Badr were bound together by the worship of one God. They wanted freedom from idolatry. They didn't want to worship the idols anymore. They're like, no, miss me with that. We don't want that. They were chosen for that day and time. They were called for duty. What have you been called to do? So you may think, I haven't been called to do anything, but yes, think deeply, dear Muslims. What have you been called to do? What are you willing to volunteer for? Who in our community can we pull in? Who are the people that are sitting on the peripheral, sitting on the sidelines, looking and wishing they could be a help with something, wishing they could have been a badr, but also wishing they could be part of our community effort to establish Islam? It takes bravery to answer the call of duty. It takes courage to fight for unity. Who will we stand in solidarity with? Pray, dear Muslims, that Allah finds us worthy to be the people of sincerity, sacrifice, and solidarity. Ameen. That is the fast fact. We need a badr in our lives. Welcome to all our listeners from around the world. Countries include Greece, Pakistan, and France. Since the beginning of Ramadan, we have had over close to 200,000 downloads of the podcast. Those numbers represent listeners from Senegal, Spain, and guess where else? Slovakia. We thank Allah over and over for the opportunity to serve. Thank you for listening. Islam is not the problem. Islam is the answer. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister and Dr. Nisa Muhammad. Thank you. Thank you for the fast fact and our bada for this time. Brothers and sisters, our reading for today on day 17 starts with chapter 21, verse 1 through chapter 22, verse 78. Surah 21, ayat 1 through Surah 22, ayat 78. And as we move to close our program, we will ask our brother, would he once again close us with prayer? Brother Abdul Shaheed Muhammad, Brother Shaheed.
Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. Dear Muslims, Al-Fatiha. Qul a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahmanir rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
O Allah, guide me with those whom you have guided, and strengthen me with those whom you have strengthened. Take me to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. Bless me in what you have given me. Protect me from the evil you have ordained. Surely you are commanded, or surely you command and are not commanded, and none who have committed to your care shall be humiliated, and none whom you have taken as an enemy shall taste glory. You are blessed, our Lord, and exalted. Ameen.
Ameen. Thank you, Brother Shaheed, for the prayers with us this morning. As we close our program, brothers and sisters, we want to start close on behalf of our guest speaker, student minister and brother Abdul Halim Muhammad, our Southwest Regional Minister. May Allah continue to bless you, dear brother Halim, and your family and the beautiful believers there in Houston and the Southwest region. On behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his family, we thank Allah for him and his family and all that he has done and is doing to spread this mighty word of Islam. We thank you, Minister. On behalf of the Executive Council of the Nation of Islam and their families, we thank Allah for each and every one of you and all that you are doing and have done in the spreading of this Islam and aiding and assisting the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. On behalf of the ministers and imams who are spreading this powerful word, thank you, brothers and sisters. Teach hard, teach hard. On behalf of my co-host, Brother Akbar, Sister Nisa, Brother Jamil, Sister Majida, Brother Shahid, and the beautiful, beautiful tech team, and on behalf of each and every one of you, let me leave you as I came to you with the greeting words of peace. Inshallah, we'll be talking again tomorrow. As-salamu alaykum.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim.
Glory be to Allah, all praise to Allah. There is no God but Allah, Allah is great. All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great.
Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Glory be to Allah.
Glory be to Allah.
All praise to Allah.
All praise to Allah.
There is no God but Allah.
Allah is great.
All power and might belong to Allah, the Most High, the Great. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim.
Subhanallah,
wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi.